Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Red News Podcast 255. It'll be a nice and quick one today. I know we had a bit of a lengthy one from Bucharest. Currently stood on Salford Bridge, just trying to get rid of the last of the mags. Got a few left. It's selling well today. Thanks very much to Duncan and Finlay for stepping in. Don't usually bail on selling, but I mean, I got back from Bucharest just over 12 hours ago. So I think I was due a free pass today. Absolutely shattered. Was when I came back via Munich and... well, yeah, if you've got an 8-hour layover in Munich, you know full well what's going to happen. You're going to get straight into the centre, straight into the Hofbräuhaus, go around a few of the beer halls and go that way. So that is exactly what we did. It was a bit of a fair journey back yesterday, one of the longest days of my life. But looking back on it, what a great trip. Absolutely fantastic. Generally is one of the great cities out there. If you're looking to go somewhere for a party or a stag do, I strongly recommend it. It really is that good. So lads here currently... mid-selling here, might have to jump in here and give a hand. We'll pause, hang on. Yeah, as we were saying, it really is just one of those absolutely fantastic cities to go to. Not a great deal to see, but it's a fantastic one no longer the less. A bit of a change in weather because it wasn't too bad there. So it's a bit nippy and a bit cold on Salford Bridge. We've got a Palace at home today. I'm reasonably confident. You know, I think that we've been keeping clean sheets, we've been playing all right. I don't think that it's this is something that we should be too worried about. I think we're starting to build a little bit of momentum, which I know some people might not agree with yet, but we've won three on the bounce and that's got to count for something. So interesting. No Xerxes and no Hoyland up front today. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works. If it's going to be Bruno or is it going to be Mainu in that more advanced role for it. But I'd say today that I'm probably going to go for 2-0. Maybe quite routine today. I mean, Mateta up front worries me, and that's about that. But we'll get
news. United's fanzine. We'll cash your card.
Got a card payment here. Here we go. Right, so we're still on Salford Bridge. I managed to get two people. Come and say your names for the crowd.
I'm Jim.
Jim.
Mark Lankey from Worcester.
Yeah, yeah.
Been going since 87. I'm 54 now, so still into it. Still get the buzz, 100%. Yeah. Go to a couple of away games. Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, yeah. I love the podcast too. The Barney. just bought a recent book, actually, called... what's it called again? No Ticket Required. Have you read that?
Yeah, I've not read it, no.
Well, Barney gets a mention on that because I think with the publishing, so that's cool. Yeah, love everything United. Yeah, love it on the bridge with you lot.
What about today? What are your thoughts on this? Obviously, there's no Hoyland, there's no Xerxes up front. It's going to be a combination of Bruno, Mainu. No, we've been three games unbeaten now, winning three on the bounce, you know. So where are you at with this Man United team and Ruben Amorim?
Well, I think we're going to win today. Although, I would say... Yeah, no, I do. I've got a bit of a feeling. Without getting too carried away. But, it's a long way to go, isn't it? It's all about confidence.
It's all about building for the FA Cup, in my opinion, next week. It's a realistic chance of a trophy. Obviously, Arsenal have gone out of it as well. So it's about trying to find that momentum. And, I mean, Leicester obviously look incredibly beatable. They obviously got stuff deeply off Everton yesterday. So that's what I think we need to keep building for. And Palace today, I think personally, is going to be a tricky test. You know, they're always very, very well organised, aren't they? So it'll be interesting to see.
Tough team, yeah.
What's your thoughts on where's your mojo at with United at the moment?
Well, he's building, isn't he? He's the new coach. It's still early days, and he's building. And he's, you know, he hasn't. He's just bought one player, hasn't he? Apart from a couple of youth players, so he hasn't really been able to impose his style of play yet and get the players that he wants. He's said all along it's going to take a while, but I think he'll get there. He's a good young coach, isn't he? And
I didn't realise Rashford's going to go to Villa. Is that likely?
Yeah, it's looking like
that's it. Weird,
he's having his medical now as we speak. He's just signed his paperwork. According to that, here we go, live boy.
It'll be weird seeing play against us, won't it?
But it's this question we were having on Thursday, but Preston, we were saying, well, it's weird because he's obviously tried for Barcelona, he's tried for AC Milan, and he's ended up in Birmingham or Villa, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because there's that half that says, well, it's a bit of a joke that that's where he's ended up. But there's the other side of the spectrum where you've got Champions League football. They finished in the top eight in the Champions League. They're better than what we are. So in football, in terms, it is a step up. That's not saying a lot.
His heart won't be in it, though. We all know that, really.
Well, we'll see. He comes with a, he had a point to prove here, didn't he, for a while, which he never did. Obviously, he fell out and all the rest of it. So I'm going to be very intrigued, and I think that a lot of people are comparing it to wondering how Jesse Lingard was, obviously, when he went to West Ham. So I'm intrigued. I think he'll do okay in a more organised system.
Probably will, won't he? Relish it, won't he? Maybe because he had a lot of troubles in Manchester. You don't know, obviously, people he surrounds himself with.
Yeah.
But it ain't that far down the road. It's only a few miles down the road. If he went to another country, maybe he'd be better.
Maybe it'd be different, yeah. So, I mean, he's still going to live in Manchester, isn't he? If he's in Birmingham, he's not. So he's still surrounded by the same people, the same temptations of what he's at.
You're a man. So, like, obviously, he's from Wythenshawe already.
Yeah, yeah.
So, obviously, you're fucking going to support him, innit? Like, but it's not, I felt like it, playing for United, does it? Like, so sometimes you've got to put your hands up and go, you're from Wythenshawe, but he say that he loves United. It's been,
he might come back
bad,
a stronger player.
It?
I mean, you don't miss
what do you really think? What part, you know?
I'm not sure he'll be coming back. I mean, there's a deal to buy £40 million in there as well. But I'm not entirely sure that we'll maybe see him again. I don't think a lot of United fans will be that bothered, if I'm being honest with you, for what we've got. And if you can get £40 million, you know, then...
I mean, I've got to be honest. I'm Man U through and through. Fucking love United. Home and away over the years. So I still get the buzz now at 54 years old. But like... when they, the Wythenshawe song from, I ain't sang it for a year or so because it just irritates me.
Oh, right.
He scores a goal, and I love singing. You know what I mean? I never suck United players off, but sometimes like
it's hard.
It's hard.
They make it very difficult.
I respect United lads for doing it.
I know.
Do you know what I'm saying though? Don't you?
Yeah, I do. Makes it very tempting. So score prediction for today, and I'll let you go.
My dad normally gets them right. My dad's an old Man United fan. My dad's Irish, so he's a Man United fan because all the great Irish players.
Whereabouts in Ireland?
Well, George Best country my dad's from.
Is he? Right? Okay.
So my dad's a big fan of United because of the good, great Irish players they had. But and he normally gets it right. He said 3-2. 3-2 to United.
I reckon.
As long as we win, I don't care. I'm
we probably will concede, but I'm really optimistic. I'm going 2-0. I ain't going to say who's going to score, but I don't know. It's got on the vibe, feel of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. And actually, in a way, hopefully we're going to win, right? But we might jump a place, we're going to a couple of points. It's also about, like you said earlier, the momentum, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all it is, isn't it?
That's what it's about, the momentum.
Building for Leicester for next week, Jason. So you want to try and hopefully try and make a European push if you can do, because, God, it's tough having no football.
It would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Anyway, I'll let you go in. Thanks, guys.
You have the carrier bag as well.
Oh, thank you. So I'm with Duncan and Finlay, who've graciously stepped in for my shocking absence today. It's been a lovely day off, guys. You two look like you're very, very, very cold. I've been there so many times, it's much nicer to be on this side of it. So it seems like you've done really well today, between fair and so.
Done really well.
For everyone and stopping. Quickly then, because I don't want to make this too long, because obviously we did a long one on Thursday, but what your thoughts, Ed, of Palace today? I'll go to you, Finlay, first. Are you confident, and what have you thought about United over the last two or three games?
I think that we'll probably do all right, maybe a draw or maybe a win. I think we'll score one or two, and then Palace will score one. But
what's your result prediction?
I reckon 2-1 to United.
I'll take that now. Everyone's got us down as a win here so far.
I'm going
for
a draw, 1-1.
Oh, there's the negativity that's coming back down. But it's nice to have a bit of more upbeat about it. No one's predicted a loss today, which is nice.
It's
unusual,
it's changed, hasn't it, the past few games. It is. Thought a good.
What's that down to, though?
Well, results, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you think we've had some tough away games. Oh, have we got one else? No? Bit of a high five. We've got one. Thank you very much. Results. Had some good results of late. I know there's been a few, you know, wobbly performances as well. But if you think Arsenal, you think City, there's just a bit more spring in the step, isn't there? So,
what did you think about Thursday night?
It was all about the result, wasn't it? The performance wasn't dynamite. First half was a bit of a write-off. But ultimately, you go to a place like that, they can be tricky, as weak as some of those leagues are, but they can be tricky. And we scored a couple of goals, got the job done, avoided going into a playoff place, and that's what it's all about.
Thank God for that as well, because that would have been really awful if we were going through that, wasn't it? So,
yeah.
Right, okay. Well, that's pretty short and sweet, isn't it, really? I'll probably see if we can find anybody else to come on here, but at the moment, anyway, for that. So, glory, glory, Man United. Thanks very much for stepping in. You go inside and warm up, and I'll come and try and take the glory.
That's it. Do you want
this? Hello, everyone. It's Nathan again from Haggadah, which is very much a culture shock from the last week of being in Cairo and Luxor. It's very much a resort compared to everything I've been, but this is the second time that I've done this start intro, because the first time I was literally sat on the edge of the dock, the quay, where all the ferries are, and someone just came over and said, and his words were, "You are not allowed to sit." So I was like, "What? I'm not allowed to sit?" He's like, "No, you're not allowed to sit." So I started again, stood up. Well, that was predictable, I think, is the word that I'd use for that game. Which is so frustrating, you know what I mean? Like, my notes, I made some notes for the first half and I was feeling confident, like, happy with the way it was going. I think, you know, it wasn't the most exciting, but it felt like we were having chances. I'll use the word that I used the other day, like, quarter chances, half chances, but yet again, we just have no one to put the ball in the net. Like, the number of times, like, Garnacho, everything was going through Garnacho, and he was having some amazing... There was one in particular that I can remember where he literally did brilliantly, squared it, and there's no one to tap it in. And I know that that was the change of formation today, you know, we didn't play with a striker. And up and, you know, in that first half, it was frustrating, but it seemed to be working because, you know, Mainoo was doing well. He hit the post, and he had a few chances. Garnacho was looking good, but we just can't score. And that's the problem. We just can't score. And I'm still gonna stand. I can imagine what Nick's post-match podcast is gonna be, and he's gonna be slagging off Amrim again. But I can't do that. I'm still fully on board with him, because if we've not got anyone who's capable of putting the ball in the net, that is not his fault. Do you know what I mean? Like, until he is given the chance to actually sign someone to do that, then you cannot blame him for that. Do you know what I mean? It's so, yeah, first half, I thought, again, like I said the other day, it was if not when. But as I said the other night, we're always conscious that it is if. And today was the perfect example of that, because we just couldn't do it. And then second half, we just... don't know what changed. We just gave them the chances, and they took them. And that was the thing, that they had someone who was able to put the ball in the back of the net. And it doesn't matter how much it does. That is very loud. It doesn't matter how much possession you've got. If you can't put the ball in the net, it doesn't matter, because that's what all that counts. Like I said, I said that I was just chatting to someone whilst watching the game, and it was like, I'm sure I saw something saying that Forest yesterday, they won 7-0 with 35% possession. They just know how to put the ball in the back of the net. Ironically, one of the people who scored three of them is Alanga, who we let go. It's one of them. But then, if we're going to go away from the game, the other big news of the day is that Rashford's gone to Villa. And is it the right thing? It probably is for him. It probably is for the club, because, you know, we've spent the last however many years, like 2 or 3 years, saying that he's not been good enough, and that he needs moving on, both for him and for the club. So it sounds like it's finally happening. But it's too late in this window to bring someone in to get those goals. Well, I say get goals. I'm not going to say his goals, because he wasn't scoring anyway, was it? On Rashford, I think a few weeks ago when it all started first coming up, and I think it was Nick who said that I must be glad that it's all happening. And I stand by what I said on that day. Like, I feel sad because, like I said that time, there was that thing on Google Earth of him as an 11-year-old with his bag and his kit ready to go to training. And it's sad that the things have gone the way they have, that that kid hasn't been able to not succeed, because he's still won trophies and, you know, he's made a lot of money. But it just feels like it's a sad way for it to end, that it's the right decision to make, do you know what I mean, for that kid on that picture, do you know what I mean? I don't really know what else to say. It's another poor result, another predictable result, sadly. But I'm looking at a boat now with a big mast, and I'm gonna tie my colours to the mast and still stand by Amorim, because it'd be ridiculous to even question him when we just don't have anyone who can score goals, and that's not his doing. If he brings someone in for however much money and then we can't score, then you can blame him. But you can't blame him for this. And this is exactly why he didn't want to join mid-season, because he will have known that this was going to happen. And that's what's happening. He had a shit first bit of time at Sporting, by the sounds of it, was able to bring his people in, and then it started working. So I'm all for it still. Yeah. I'm going to go and have a couple more beers. I watched it obviously I've been in Egypt for a week now, been in Cairo, been in Luxor, absolutely amazing. Then to come here and to watch the game in a place called the English Bar, doing full Sunday roasts, is a massive shock to the system, to be fair. But yeah, I'm going to go and have a couple more beers, watch the Arsenal City game, I guess. I just totally forgot, but it didn't look good with Martinez, did it? I'm guessing by the time this is published we'll know more, but that didn't look good. And the coverage of him literally in tears on the stretcher was not good. And yeah, hopefully he'll be alright, because like I said the other day, it just seemed like it was working out for him in this system. So yeah, on that note, yeah, it's a bit of a downer, isn't it? So yeah, I'm going to go and have a few more final cheap Egyptian beers, I guess, before I have to come back and stand in the cold. Right, on that note, as always, to the regiment, and glory, glory, Man United. I'll see you all later. Goodbye. Hello, everyone. This is Nathan again. And I just thought I'd do an extra little bit to be tagged on to the end of the podcast that we'll be doing for the game on Sunday. And this is Saturday, by the way. But yeah, it felt like this was something that needed doing, because the other day when I did the pod post the Bucharest game, I don't think I gave a hate of the week, because, you know, I'm on holiday. It's amazing, you know, it's a bit chaos, but I love it. But I now have a hate of the week, and it felt like it needed recording. So today I'm at Karnak Temple, which is like a huge temple complex in Luxor. As a history nerd, I guess, it's definitely a place where I've always wanted to visit, and it's class. It's very busy, but, you know, that's fine. You know, I am part of the tourism that is making it busy, so that's not my issue. What my hate of the week is, and this is one that, you know, people who listen to this will hear most weeks, I don't really have a hate of the week. I don't really hold many hates, but I've got one today. And also, you know, I'm fine with people taking selfies. Absolutely fine. I've taken a couple. It's nice to, a little remember of being here. I'm also an actual photographer, so I like to take nice pictures as well of the scenery, of the artwork, of the architecture, because it's all amazing. That's what everyone's meant to be here for. But my hate of the week is people who are essentially just doing Instagram clout full photo shoots. And it's just like, that it's like that's the only thing they're here for. They're not bothered about the history or anything else. They're just here to get some nice pictures. But the worst bit about it is, so there's one area here where it's a load of like columns, and it's incredible. These huge, massive columns, they're 4,000 years old. Incredible. Look beautiful with all the hieroglyphics and everything on them. And there's people that are trying to stop other people from walking around this area so that the photos don't get ruined in like air brackets because of people walking around. Fuck off. I'm here to look at this. I'm not here, and you're not meant to be here to be getting clout for Instagram. Do you know what I mean? It's really pissed me off because it's like you're getting in their way, and it's like, well, I don't give a shit. So, yeah, it's quite a visceral hate. Maybe not hate, maybe it is hate. But yeah, just, I think the thing, I'm all for people getting a nice picture if they want a nice picture for their Instagram or their Tinder or whatever they want to post it on. But to then sort of be moody and naggy at other people who are just genuinely trying to look around this amazing site because we happen to be getting in your way. Nah, you can fuck off, mate. Right, I'm going to go now. And maybe I'm just going to go and purposely stand in the way of all these people's photos. Is that bitter? I don't care. Right, I'm going to go. And the next time I'll speak to you will be after a resounding victory in the game tomorrow.
Hi guys, Nick here after the Palace game. Nobody really wanted to do a pod. There wasn't really much appetite, shall we say, to sit and have a chat, all things United. That's really taken the steam out of a lot of people, I think. I think obviously, especially pre-match, we all were predicting us really to have a win or worst case scenario draw. I think there was a bit more of an optimism about us around the ground, and people felt that we were a bit more likely to win, you know, which is obviously a rare one. I mean, I've been covering Barney today really on this, and tried to with Selly, not really got that involved with Selly really today, but Barney's just said the following things really. I'll start off with this bit. He's put, I'm too mopey to do a podcast right now. We all know it's going to be worse before it gets better, so I'm bunkered down for all this league shite and all the chips are in for Bilbao. Please can we sign a fucking forward who can score some goals, even if he's 40s and 50s, even when Rude gets sacked by Leicester, we'll have him back. He said he's watching a film called Last Night on Earth, and he said that goes very, very well with his mood at the moment. So, yeah, can see that. It's just, I don't know, it's just all feeling a bit Van Harley on the pitch at the moment. There's a lot of possession with a lack of idea of what you do with it as soon as you get within 20 yards of the opposing goal. You know, if Everton win their game in hand, they go above us. I mean, if that's not, you know, sentence that, you know, doesn't, I don't know, let that sink in, honestly. Sam is, what, 7th home Premier League game I was working it out, and he's won 2 and lost 5. I mean, it's just not good enough, is it? I mean, when you've been beaten by Brighton, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, you barely get past Southampton, who've, what, you know, you can't do anything. And you're beating that team that was Everton in disarray before. Obviously, the wonderful work of David Moyes has obviously turned them around. I mean, the thing for me, as I said, and the lads were taking the piss out of me at half-time, and I said, that's 3.5 games now where we've not scored against Palace. And they laughed, and I was like, 3.5 games? Well, yeah, it's half-time. Make that 4. That's the last 4 games that we played against Palace. We've not scored against them. 4 games. They beat us here, was it 1-0 last year? And then, obviously, we drew 0-0 at their ground this year and got beat 4-0 last time. So the last 4 games we've not scored against Palace. I mean, that's just, That's ridiculous, and that's with two different managers, and it's still not good. Maynard Fernandez, you know, was false nines. I thought it looked like it was going to work at first. I thought the first 20, 25 minutes, the game was fluid. It was almost exciting, really. It looked like it was going to be a stroke of genius from Amarin of dropping Højlund and Xerxes. But as the game went on, it really started to seem like, you know, Palace were really sort of figuring that out, really, and the impact was getting a little bit nullified. Garnacho was posing a good threat as well in the first half, but his crossing really frustrates me. I don't think anybody really talks about it, but just watch next time how many times he crosses the ball and just belts it into a defender's shin. And you're just like, just look up, just put your head up and look up. And I know people should be there, and that's a different debate, but you shouldn't keep crossing the ball and just putting it against a defender's shin every time. It's like watching Antonio Valencia at the back end of his career when he just used to cross a ball and it never left the ground and it just went into someone's shin. So do something different. And then it went to shit, didn't it, really? How do you break it down from there? I think you've got to start with the captain. I think he really should be taking a lot of ownership. I've been pretty critical of Bruno in recent weeks. I'm just so tired of him not doing anything in these games against these lower teams in the Premier League. You know, even against the top sides, that can be a different one, because I thought he was okay against Arsenal and he was very good at Anfield. But against these lower ones, we talk about him grabbing the game by the scruff for the neck, and he just doesn't do it. And another one's passed him by today. And I think he needs to be on the bench versus Leicester next week. I'm not sure Amarin's going to drop him, but for me, he's been poor again. And I think this time it's for another manager who was poor towards the end of Eric's tenure for a long time. And I think it's probably going to be time for him to go in the summer. I can't see us progressing with him at this club. I think we need a cultural reboot. You need a new captain that's going to come in. And to be honest, I think that he should go in the summer. Whether he does or not, I'm not entirely convinced. I don't know who's going to want to buy him. He seems like he'd be a bit of a gamble for a lot of people, and who's going to have the money, and whether Amarin would even want to let him go is another one. But personally, I would let him go in the summer. I would start letting him go around. I mean, we almost owe it to him because, you know, from a couple of years ago when he was good. But now I just think it's probably best for both parties, really, that he shops around for a move. Thought the wing-backs, again, not good enough and a real problem. By the end of the first half, we were playing basically with Dalot and Mazraoui as the only players of ours in their box. And it's like, you're just not going to win games like that at this level. I know Dalot scored by doing that on Thursday night. But at this level, and you're playing proper sides, you're just not going to win games like that. I mean, that just shows you how desperate you are. And, you know, I know you're leaving Xerxes and Højlund on the bench today, and you try and make a statement to the board to try and get a signing over, if it's going to be Tell or whoever it's going to be. You know, but we talk about being desperate for a striker. I mean, to be fair, for me, I think we've just played against one that I would choose. I don't think he's the answer to all our problems, but I think that Marteta would provide us with, you know, experience and physicality with what we're missing. He's massive. He's absolutely huge. Didn't realise how big he was until today. I think he makes great runs. I think you saw that in the first half where he did miss a chance. He caught Yoro and Maguire out. He's a target man. He scores poachers' goals. And Barney made the point in the WhatsApp group during the game that Chris Wood's been playing really well, but he doesn't score screamers. He's just in the box and he's in the right place. And, you know, our back three found it really, really tough to deal with him and all the runs, really, today. And I thought Yoro started the game really well. But, I mean, he's probably at fault for both goals today. And I know he's young and I get all that. But you still have to call it out for what it is. You know, him and Maguire sort of had a bit of a mix-up for that first one. Probably maybe more so Maguire stepping up. But that back three is not quite working at the moment. And again, obviously for set pieces, as we could come on to, you know, Yoro gets bullied out the way for that one as well. It's not getting any better. We were caught out by a couple on Thursday in Bucharest. And, you know, obviously today's first goal was a set piece. But we've just got a squad that's got really bad footballing IQ that makes stupid decisions. And, you know, a lot of the time you see Dalot get out-jumped when he's trying to defend something. You know, he just doesn't seem to win a lot of headers when it's, you know, an actual tussle. He wins headers when there's no one around him, but if he's up against the forward, it's like he never gets the better of them. And there's just too many poor examples that are there out there. I mean, he's another player that definitely needs to go. I mean, if you're looking for positives, what can I say? We're starting to have more possession in a game. I mean, look, teams aren't coming to Old Trafford now and having 65% of the ball like they were doing, you know, over the last 2 years and stuff. And it was really glum in that respect as well. I think at the moment, that's all you can really cling to. And hopefully it's going to be a measure of once Ruben gets his players in and you can score when you're on top. And, you know, Maynard at the post today, You got to have a chance at 0-0. But that, Bruno forced a save from the keeper too. They're the only three chances that we had. You've got to score when you're on top. So I just think that that's all you can really cling to, is that when you've got that possession, it's going to come in handy if you're winning. You can keep the ball well. That's something else. And that is important. So it's good to see that that's changing. Because, as I say, how many games have we had where we've had 30, 35% of the ball regularly? You know, I mean, even when we went to Anfield, I mean, it felt like it was 50-50. I don't know what the stats were, but it certainly felt like it was a lot more even. And you weren't coming away from Anfield and you've had 18%, which I think we've had in recent years and stuff. So hopefully that's going to be something. And when you get that score, it's going to get that clinical edge. You know, it massively helped. But yeah, the back three just makes me feel very uneasy. And it's just so easy to play against that way. So I don't know. Look, I mean, it didn't rain. That's another positive. We only had 5 copies of the mag left today, so thank you very much for everyone who stopped and bought. Finlay and Duncan today for letting me recover and have a good lie in. Massively appreciate that. I'm sure Nathan and I will do one next Friday for Leicester on Friday. I know a lot of people don't like Friday night football, but for us, me and Nathan, selfishly, we love it. You know, for me, it's perfect because I work in town. So it's nice and easy to get there, 10 minutes on the tram. You know, you've got enough drinking time before the game as well. I mean, we've only got a few mags to shift, not many for Friday, luckily. So if you want one on Friday and you come in, you probably need to be quick. There's not too many copies there, but you can still order online. Check on Barney's Twitter, X, whatever they call accounts and stuff, and you'll see the links that are on there. We're just all in it, aren't we, for the FA Cup now. We're going to have to be next Friday, and obviously for Bilbao as well. At least we're unbeaten in that competition as well, which I don't know if we made the point. So that's something. Anyway, fingers crossed. Glory, glory, Man United. Thanks very much, and we'll see you on Friday.